Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'd just like to welcome you here today on behalf of Connemara Girl Publications for the launch of Alexander Nimmo in the Western District. So I'd like to hand you over now to Mr. John Killeen, CEO of Colchon Group and engineer and Nimmo enthusiast.
I think it's a lovely occasion that we're here to celebrate this evening, the launching of an excellent book by Kathleen. She's put in a tremendous amount of work in it, and I think any of you who have done engineering or know anything about engineering, when you read it, you will see the amount of information that she has resourced. It's really a work of art, and from an academic point of view, it is of excellent quality. When we talk about Nimmo, certainly we could do it a Nimmo round today, certainly in the west of Ireland. He came to the west of Ireland about 1811, and he was here for 24 years, and he built 30 piers and harbours along the western shore, 70 bridges, 200 miles of roadway, well before his time. In fact, when he came here, there were very little roads in the west of Ireland. There were only laneways. There were very few roads that you could actually drive on with a cart, a horse and cart. And that goes back to the earlier times when, in fact, Dublin was the centre of Ireland, and beyond the Shannon, very little happened until, in fact, Nimmo came here. And he developed the basic infrastructure, what we have today in many parts of the west of Ireland, and we only have extended that. We haven't renewed it or created new infrastructure to any great extent along the western shores. So we could do it another Nimmo today. Kathleen has done an excellent job in recording his life in Ireland. He was born in Scotland, but he came here about 1811. He did tremendous work. He had some disabilities as well, which he carried through his working career. So he had an everlasting impact, and in fact his work has remained virtually anonymous up to now, and I think this book certainly will highlight his achievements in the west of Ireland, and certainly will be a guidance as to what we can achieve in the west of Ireland if we had somebody of Nimmo's leadership and enthusiasm and ideas. And he was certainly an achiever in terms of, he was only given a certain amount of money by the Board of Works at the time, and he had to go and achieve all his dreams. And I think at the end of the day, he only retired when he ran out of money from the government, which is the usual story. So just can I congratulate Kathleen again on an excellent book in terms of... Our company has been very glad to support her in the work to certainly, if you like, bring to focus, from our perspective, because we're in the roads business essentially in the west of Ireland since 1927. So we're a bit longer on than Nimmo, but we haven't achieved nearly as much. So we hope to do so over the next 75 years.
We'd just like to call on Mr. Paddy Barry now, please, another engineer and an adventure sailor, to say a few words.
200 years ago, because that's when it was that Nimmo was around, Napoleon's armies were careering all over Europe. Daniel O'Connell was commencing his assault, his parliamentary assault on Westminster, and the people of the west of Ireland were starving. Ireland was governed at that time by a dichotomous system of repressive, racist and religious subjugation of ourselves, her native people, in tandem with official charity, selectively and parsimoniously given. And it was as an instrument of this official charity that Alexander Nimmo carried out his work on the piers and the roads of Galway and Mayo. He was a civil engineer, and at that time there were only two types of engineers, military engineers and civil engineers. Civil engineers had produced the aqueducts, had produced the canals, the roads and the bridges, and yet to come were the things we now take for granted, the steam engines, the blast furnace, the electricity and the industrial revolution. Alexander Nimmo, he was a product of a dour background. He was a protege of Thomas Telford of Scotland, who was a hard-working and brilliant achiever in his own right. The very opposite of that other icon of that Scottish era, Robbie Burns, the romantic. Alexander came to Ireland as an engineering assessor, an engineering surveyor of the economic potential of our extensive boglands and our fisheries, but it's for his monumental work on the piers and the roads that we best know him. In some ways, over 200 years, nothing changes. These days, for many of our local authority engineers, a significant part of one's effort is concentrated on getting up the mileage. The mileage allowance is important. Keep on driving. Well, it wasn't any different in Nemo's day, except it was called a different thing, and this is described in the book, because Nemo, for him and his contemporaries, they got a forage allowance for the horse. And I do believe that the horse did not get the full benefit of this. At a more serious level, again, nothing changes. Nemo made the great mistake of not watching his back. And he paid dearly for this, because Nemo, in his declining career, was shafted by the influence of a combination of professional rivals and aggrieved landed interests. He was removed from his position as chief engineer of the Western District. Nonetheless, if it is true that the history of the world is written in the biography of her people, it can be said that the history of the Western District is told in this book. The pier at Killeena in Aran, which adorns its cover, is little changed. Similarly, the old pier in Rosseville, where I worked 1975-76 in building the start of the new pier there, is unchanged. The piers at Clifton, Mullock Moor, the Claddagh piers, and dozens of others, as John said, are testimony to his work. And right here in Roundstone, the pier down there opposite O'Dowd's, known as the Shan Cave, is Nemo's work. The road we use outside the door here and along the shore to Toombeola is Nemo's work. And the bog road to Clifton and the road from Shanafaishdean to Mike Cullen and the Scree Road and most of the others, all his. And even the very village itself of Roundstone, he built its first houses. And I ask you, would he recognize it today were he here? But if he were here, I would step up to him and offer to buy him a pint. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Barry. And now finally, we just have to call on the author to say a few words.
So I'm going to use notes. I won't be half as entertaining as the other two, but then I'm not an engineer, so what can I say? So, Reverend Father, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you all for coming here today to help us celebrate Alexander Nemo. And to help me launch my new book, Alexander Nemo and the Western District. It's all about the construction of roads, piers, bridges in the west of Ireland in the 1820s. I think you'll agree it's a sexy title and an exciting topic. But I'm not going to try and sell this book to you today. The fact that you're all here is proof that you're interested in Nemo. So what is it about this man, Nemo? How little we know about him, and yet how everybody wants to own him. The Roundstone people like to claim him as the founder of their village, and rightly so. The Galway people affectionately call him Nemo, and they feel they have the only Nemo's pier. Engineers see him as a pioneer, as sort of a frontiersman. As it is, we all are sort of very protective about him. Well, I've spent the past 2.5 years working on this book, and I found the topic fascinating, and the man even more so. Researching Nemo has introduced me to many new topics and introduced me to many new people. And I would love to tell you all about my research and my writing and the people I met along the way, but Paddy Barry told me that if I spoke for more than 7 minutes, you'd all leave the room. So I got, I began my research for this book in September 2003, exactly a year after the launch of my book on Kyle Moore. At the time, I thought I was starting what was a long overdue rewrite of my first book, History of Clifton, which was published in 1982. And I started my research with Nemo. He was to be a chapter in the new book. Now, I had, of course, come across Nemo in the past when I was doing my research for History of Clifton originally. Back then, Owen Lavelle, an engineer from Clifton, who sadly has since passed away, gave me a photocopy of Nemo's bog report on Connemara. Now, this is a wonderful, detailed document written in 1813. I have returned to this photocopy many times in the past 20 years, and I returned to it again for this book. After rereading the bog report, I next read Nemo's survey for the Fishery Board of the West Coast, written in the 1820s, and pretty soon after that, I was hooked on the man. I remember going on enthusiastically about him to Professor Gareth O'Thuig at one of our breakfast meetings, and over breakfast, Gareth suggested that, given my enthusiasm for the subject, perhaps I should consider doing a book on Nemo's work in the West of Ireland. Now, for years, people have been saying that someone ought to write a book on Nemo, and I certainly wasn't anxious to put myself forward. Nimmo is a big topic, and one that deserves several books in my estimation. And on top of everything else, as I've already mentioned, Nimmo is very highly regarded by the engineers of the country. And this would be what my friend Margaret would say, playing in the big boy's yard. Eventually, after several breakfast meetings and lots of encouragement from Garrod, I decided to go for it. The breakfast meetings, in case you're wondering, usually take place in the Westwood when I'm on my way from Dublin and Garrod has already got a morning's work behind him in the college. Some years ago, I was asked by a condescending school teacher, and you know what they're like, which university had I attended? I told her that I hadn't been to university, but I frequently took breakfast with Garrod Ó Tuaidh and found that that was sufficient. But I am deeply indebted to Garrod, and I want to take this opportunity to thank him, not only for his help with this book, but for my two previous books as well. It is 10 years now since I picked up the phone and rang Garrod. I had never met him, didn't know anything about the man. I only knew that I needed some advice, and I decided I was going to choose him, and I hoped that he would be helpful. He was then, and he has continued to advise me on all my work ever since. Those of you who know him will know that he is a very generous man, generous with his time and with his vast knowledge. And I cannot emphasize strongly enough just what an influence he's been on my work. Over the years, just knowing that he's there in the background offering advice and encouragement whenever it is needed has given me great courage and helped me to take on more challenging projects than I would otherwise embark on, such as Nimmo. One of the first pieces of advice that Garrod offered me when I started this book was, he says, now don't fall in love with this one. You don't have to love the man to write about him. I have a tendency to fall in love with the men that I write about. And so from the start, I made a conscious decision not to fall in love with Nimmo. So in the first year of my research, I found myself instead falling in love with his peers. I spent the summer of 2004 touring the coast of Mayo and Galway, visiting Nimmo's peers and photographing them. I stood on piers in some of the loveliest spots on the west coast, and in the still of the afternoon, it proved very easy to imagine these sights when they were a hive of activity in the 1820s, when men, women and children came from all around to work on the public works. At the same time, I began to appreciate how beautiful the old piers are. In some cases, they have been added to and extended, and others they are pretty much as Nimmo would have intended them to be. I'm thinking in particular of Sawleen on the Mullet Peninsula, the old head at Louisburg, Maumeen Pier, Rinville and St. Kitts Pier in Galway's Bay. However, as quickly as I was photographing them, they were being new improvement works was underway and beautiful stonework was being covered in concrete. Then in the early summer of 2005, Emer Joyce invited me onto the True Light, the big Galway hooker that she owns in partnership with Pádraig Folan and Máirtín Barrett. On board the True Light, I spent the summer sailing in and out of what Nimmo describes as the Great Bays of Connemara. I had a wonderful time. At the same time, I learned to appreciate the full impact of Nimmo's piers and roads on isolated communities. During this time, I was uncovering some fascinating material on Nimmo's work in the West and on the developments that were taking place here in between 1812 and 1832. Many of the topics raised in my research were new to me. Topics such as boat sizes, engineering technology, piloting directions, coastal charts. All of this was new and it was very interesting and I really enjoyed learning about them. But I needed someone to discuss them with. And this was in my mind when I was introduced to Paddy Barry. Paddy Barry found himself in Connemara in September in 2004. The north about was stuck in ice in the north of Russia, and he was forced to return to Ireland and was sitting around feeling sorry for himself back in his house in Manon Bay when he decided to wander into a talk I was giving in Clifton. Arts Week was on at the time. After the talk, James Harold, who was the arts officer for Galway City, introduced me to Paddy as he was introduced as an engineer who was the first man to sail a Galway hooker across the Atlantic. Immediately, I knew he was the man for me. Pretty soon, he was parting with his phone number and promising to read the manuscript. And this he did, despite being a little bit preoccupied with preparations for the final stage of the Northabout circumnavigation of the North Pole. And even with all this, the excitement of a successful mission and the publicity on his return, and then he keeps constantly turning up at functions where they're constantly giving him awards, he took the time off to read the final manuscript and was full of helpful suggestions. So thank you, Paddy. I want to thank you for all your help with engineering and nautical issues. 2 years into this book, I realized that in order to produce the material that I was uncovering and to do it justice, I needed to produce a book of a very large format and a very high quality. However, to produce a book like the one I had in mind was going to be expensive. In short, I needed a very generous sponsor. I had no idea how I could find one. And then one time when I was down on one of Nimmo's piers down at Rinville, just outside Oranmore, I was photographing the pier, and a man who lives near the pier came up to me, and he asked me what I was doing. I told him I was writing a book on Nemo, and he said, "Oh, there's a man here," he said, "who has a big yacht named Nemo." "Really?" I said, "is he rich?" "Oh, yeah," he said. "So I tell you, John, you hadn't a chance of it." And then I discovered that the Colchon Company manufactured chemicals that went into road building, and that he was an engineer himself, and I tell you, it was a match made in heaven. So I made another of my phone calls, and with very little persuasion, I must admit, John agreed to sponsor this book and was very enthusiastic about the project. So to you, John, I owe a tremendous debt of gratitude, because with your sponsorship, I was able to give this book the size and the style that I wanted to do in order to display the maps and the charts that I was hoping to reproduce. And it simply couldn't have been done without your sponsorship, and I thank you for it very much. So now I had all the ingredients coming together, and all I needed to do now was finish the book and publish it. Since the beginning of February, I've been an impossible woman to live with, and both my family and my friends, those of them who are still talking to me, will testify to that. But in particular, I want to thank all of them for staying with me, but in particular, I want to thank my good friends Paula and Pete Vine for their invaluable assistance in the preparation for publishing this book. They've been unstinting in their professional advice. They have their own publishing company here in Connemara, and yet they still find time to advise me free of charge on my publications. I consider myself extremely fortunate, not just in having them as friends, but also in having their support in my work. Throughout the past 3 months, during the final preparations of the manuscript, and in particular in the design of the cover, they were with me every step of the way. And I'm sure you will agree that the cover has turned out really well, and it is in no small way due to Paula and Pete and to their advice, and I thank you both for that. And now I want to thank my husband, who has just about given up on me ever taking up those ballroom dance classes with him. I also want to thank my sons, William and Graham, who think, thankfully in their ignorance, think that every mother is as daft as the one they've got. And to thank my extended family and friends for their constant support and love. Now, I thought I'd included everybody in the acknowledgements of the book, but there's always one left out. And in this case, I'm afraid it's Michael Brennan from the Engineering Department of NUI Galway. Sorry, Michael, I forgot all about you. But I wanted to thank you in particular for your help with getting the photograph together for the front cover of the book. And also, I want to thank the proprietors and the staff of the Biola restaurant for taking care of us here this afternoon.